In all of U.S. history, there has been only one foreign-born First Lady. Louisa Adams, wife of Massachusetts native and the sixth president of the U.S., John Quincy Adams, was born in England. The story of how this woman was challenged by her upbringing but grew to effectively support the diplomatic work and political work of John Quincy Adams is the subject of the new biography, Louisa, The Extraordinary Life of Mrs. Adams. We discussed Louisa Adams with the book's author, who's named Louisa Thomas. Thomas explained how President John Adams and especially First Lady Abigail Adams were initially opposed to their son's marriage.
Abigail wrote John Quincy when she kind of put two and two together and figured out that he was planning on taking one of the Johnson girls as his wife. And she actually guessed who it was. She guessed it was Louisa. And she said something like, "I hope for the love I bear my country, the siren is at least half blood." And John Quincy kind of wrote back stiffly that if he waited to find a wife, a mate that would suit his mother's requirement, he would be celibate all his life. the relationship between the in-laws and the spouses, this is one of those things, there's nothing new under the sun.
Though history is a little clear on this, Louisa was frequently ill, apparently miscarried several children.
We don't know the exact number, but she did miscarry maybe 9 or 10 times. For that to happen again and again was really very hard because, you know, after she had become a wife, she was supposed to become a mother, and it would turn out that becoming a mother was quite hard.
What was their relationship like as a diplomat, a senator, a member of the House of Representatives, president? John Quincy Adams was absent a lot in her life. He was also described as aloof. Was their marriage troubled?
It was a complicated marriage. It was at times tempestuous. It was at times very loving and tender. They went through a lot together, and they really supported each other when they needed. And they also were partners in very practical ways. She was sort of able to be the warmth against his aloofness.
In 1809, President Madison appoints John Quincy Adams ambassador to Russia. Tell us about the extraordinary and harrowing 2,000-mile journey she made in 1815 from St. Petersburg to Paris in the middle of the Napoleonic Wars, when John Quincy left Russia to go to Paris and she had to go to join him.
This is one of the enduring things about the story of her life. The more she was tested, the more she proved herself. And she came to understand that about herself and actually use that to articulate some sort of independent identity for her. John Quincy went to negotiate the treaty that would end the War of 1812, and leaving her alone in St. Petersburg, which was this kind of ruinously expensive city where she had few friends. She was alone with their young son, their 7-year-old son. That by itself was not so easy. And she bore up very well. Then he wrote her and said, "Meet me in Paris." And that was no small thing. It was very unusual for a woman to make that kind of journey by herself, let alone with a young son, let alone in the winter, let alone over war-torn country. I mean, halfway through that journey, she learned that Napoleon had escaped Elba and was heading toward Paris, as she was. And soldiers around her began to muster. She just heard these really horrible stories, and she was witnessing some pretty terrible ravages herself. And it was quite dangerous at times. They were surrounded. She heard soldiers crying in French, which she understood, "Tear them out of the carriage, kill them." And she responded by waving her handkerchief and yelling, "Vive Napoleon!" And they responded, "Vive!" And she went on. She was constantly told to turn back. She was constantly told to stop. Her male servants, she'd hired 2 male servants to protect her. They fled in fear. She went on.
Telescoping ahead, John Quincy Adams' campaign for the presidency. She was key, wasn't she?
She was absolutely. I mean, John Quincy was the last of his father's generation, which thought that campaigning was craven. It was called electioneering in those times. And a president was supposed to be elected on the basis of his merits and not his popularity. And John Quincy repeatedly said, "I would do absolutely nothing." you know, to gain the presidency. No speeches, no shaking hands. So it was kind of left to his friends to do the work for him. And his wife was almost chief among them in some ways. She had a series of parties called Tuesday at Mrs. Adams that kept the bright light of attention on him as he sat in a dark corner. And, you know, she was this kind of forceful presence in Washington that really helped him immensely.
In the history of first ladies, where do you think she fits? And I ask because we don't speak of her in the same breath as we speak of Abigail Adams or Dolly Madison or Eleanor Roosevelt.
Partly that is because she had a difficult time in the White House, as John Quincy did. His presidency was really not the most important part of his career, which means that his presidency was not the most important part of her life. Obviously, she's famous insofar as she's famous because she's a first lady, but that to me doesn't define who she is. So in terms of her life, I would rank her very high. I think she's one of the most fascinating first ladies ever to have lived in the White House.
Louisa Thomas, author of Louisa, The Extraordinary Life of Mrs. Adams. Thank you so very much for coming in. Good to meet you, and very, very good luck with this book. It was a great book.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.